First Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Lord, we thank you for your kindness. You are long-suffering to us, and your mercy is new every morning. Your faithfulness fails not. And Lord, our life is indeed as a vapor, as we have seen demonstrated in these calamities that have come upon our nation. And Lord, we see thy hand and we see thy power unleashed in a small way. But yet even in this small way, Lord, it brings great devastation. And who can stand against it? Well, Lord, we are made to tremble as we survey all of those things, and our hearts are indeed moved with compassion toward those who have borne the brunt of those storms. And we are mindful, Lord, that did we get what we deserved, we should be in the midst of it and surely be destroyed thereby. Yet, Lord, we take comfort and we do rejoice this day in consideration that your tender mercies are always visited upon your people, even in the darkest of hours and in the greatest of calamities as men see them. And Lord, may we ever find our help in thee. For Lord, apart from thee, we shall surely perish. Lord, we wait upon you. We trust you. We have none other to whom we can turn. We bless thy name. And we ask you to lead and direct our thoughts this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Peter, writing to the saints, which he said were scattered abroad, and they were many, the first century of the church, since the coming of Christ, there was a lot that took place. And there was a lot of persecution, a lot of what men would look at and consider that was too terrible to even mention. And yet, in the midst of it all, the Lord designed these things for the benefit of his people, for the ongoing of the gospel, and for the magnification of Jesus Christ. And so Peter is speaking to these who've been scattered, and it is amazing how quick the human, as humans, we are to forget the rock from whence we were hewn and the pit from whence we were dug. You know, we can be in a situation where we're seeking the Lord and asking him to help us out of a jam, you know, that as we see it, and to give us grace that we might maybe meet some financial obligation or whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden, when that particular trial is passed, it's almost as if we forgot that it even happened. And we begin to take those same things for granted that perhaps we even prayed that the Lord would do. We just see, it's like the fellow that found himself sliding down off of the roof of the house, and he was praying on the way down, "Oh, Lord, help me," because he was fixing to go off the edge of the roof. Well, whenever he was going over the edge of the roof, the strap of his overalls hung on a nail hanging out of the gutter and stopped, and he said, "Well, that's okay, Lord." He says, "I can handle it from here." And, you know, it is often that the people of God, we are as people, just because this is human nature. It's the way we are. I don't have to tell you to be like this. This is just how you're going to be. It's how I'm going to be. We forget who it is that we are and how we got where we are, if we are anywhere. Now, just because we say we're somewhere doesn't mean we are. I can say I'm in Hawaii, but that doesn't make me there, does it? Huh? Now, if I had the power of positive thinking strong enough, it would. I mean, I could just be there, you know, if I could just believe it strong enough, as some would tell us at least. But so we're not the children of God because we say we are. We're not the children of God because we tell other people that we are. We're not children of God because we go to a particular church or we do anything. None of that stuff that doesn't make us anything. That may tell us how loud we protest or how much we say we believe certain things. That doesn't mean anything. But Peter said, "If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." If that is true, if you have had a taste of what it is to know in the depths of your soul that the Lord is gracious, he said, "Therefore laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Now, he's not speaking to a certain segment of the Christian population. There are some who sort of think that they grow out of needing the sincere milk of the Word. That's not what it is. Now, there is a place where Paul said that he had to feed some with milk because he couldn't eat meat, but that's not talking about the same thing that Peter's talking about here. There is a contrast in the growth process of the people of God. God has not dealt to every man the measure of faith. Same measure of faith. Every man does not have the same understanding. Every man does not have the same gifts and such like. And so there is a diversity among the children of God, but we're all called with the same calling. And it is according to the purpose of God that he gives us such things as we stand in need of and puts us where we are. And so we are all, while some need baby food, some are more suited to stronger meat, it still doesn't change the fact that he is saying here that we all, as babes, because we really are, as a baby desires the milk of his mother's breast, so then we ought to desire the sin, and we will, as he says here, if we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, as a newborn babe who suckles at his mother's breast, he remembers the sweetness of that nourishment which he received, and he is looking for the next opportunity that he can be back to the same place. And he said, that's what he's saying. He said, like a baby suckles at the breast, remember the nourishment that you've received and desire the sincere milk of the Word, because it is sweet if you've tasted it. Now, you cannot give a man a taste for the things of God. The most miserable that a man can be is sitting and listening to somebody preaching when he don't have an interest in the things being preached. I can tell you that from personal experience. I can turn the radio on sometime and listen to men preaching something, and I want to knock the radio out of the dash of the thing. It makes me sick sometimes, some of the stuff I hear. Now, I hear some stuff that makes me glad. But if you don't have a taste for the sincere milk of the Word, nobody can give it to you. And so, but Peter's writing to those who have a sincere, have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord's gracious? You maybe can answer that. We can't always answer that ourselves. I can't answer it for you, but I can say this: as a newborn babe, this is the place that we get our nourishment, is the sincere milk of the Word of God, the truth of God. We don't want somebody telling us a lie. We don't want somebody telling us something that makes us feel good, just to make us feel good. Now, that what Brother Al was talking about comforting the people of God, we want to be comforted, but we want to be comforted by the truth. We don't want to be comforted by a lie. I mean, the religious man, he is happy with a lie. He doesn't want you to tell him anything that gets him upset. He just wants you to tell him something he wanted to hear. He came down there to hear that, and that's what he wants to hear. But you see, the sincere milk of the Word is what it is. And only those who've tasted that the Lord is gracious will grow thereby and be fed and be satisfied with it. But that's not really what I want to talk about. But that's necessary, that we have an understanding of what that is in order for the first part of this to make any sense at all. Now, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, then here's an exhortation. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice." Now, what he's doing here is he's telling God's people how they ought to dress. And in order to dress the garments that you have on, have to come off. Now, nobody ever had to teach you what malice is. You were born knowing about that. Malice is designed hurt. Malice is delighting in telling somebody off, straightening somebody out. You see, malice is that pleasure that comes. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about, because you do. Everybody knows that pleasure. I mean that deep-seated pleasure that just comes with just putting somebody in their place. I told them, by grannies, they won't do that again to me anymore. Well, Peter said, "Wherefore, laying aside." Oh, wait, Peter, that thing fits good. I mean, that's one of those skin-tight huggers there. I mean, that thing just feels so good. I mean, it just feels just like me. He said, laying aside malice. We've all heard people that had malignancies. It's a bad word when you go to the doctor's office and he tells you it's malignant. That's a word you don't want to hear, but I'm telling you, every one of us in here was born with a malignant tumor that has its tentacles that grow deep within us. He said, lay it aside. Why? Because it's not becoming to the children of God. Now, Well, Peter, that's easier said than done. Yes, Peter knows that. That's why he exhorts the people of God. Because, you see, we, by the grace of God, have been made new creatures if we be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature. He is a new creature. It's not he's trying to become a new creature. It's not that he's become a dual-headed monster. He is a new creature. Now, the thing is, the Lord didn't see fit to take us out of the world, but he has delivered us in the world. And we are still plagued with an old heart of flesh that likes wearing the same old garments that it always had. See, the flesh doesn't like putting off these garments at all, because the flesh likes these garments that Peter's saying, put them off, lay them aside. Wait, that's my favorite thing. Have you got a favorite pair of shoes? I got favorite things like that, and Linda gets mad at me. Well, I got this new pair over here. Wear these, but I like these. See, that's the way we are by nature. Oh, we know that what Peter's saying is true enough, but you see, that is that's where the rub comes in, is it not? That's where the struggle comes in. That's where the exhortation comes in to the people of God to put us off these things. Now, you can't put it off, dear brethren, in your own power. But what Peter's saying is, recognize what it is. See it for what it is. And lay it aside. It's not the thing you're called to. The Lord never called anybody into the straightening out business. He never did. He's able to correct His people through His Word. And He'll do it. Far better job of it than we can do, even though some people seem like they're studied up on it, you know, pretty well. But that's not what we're called to be. He said, wherefore, laying aside all malice, that's ill feeling. That's not becoming to the children of God. It's not the garment that the children of God need to have in their closet. And he said, all guile. What's guile? That's subterfuge. That's deceit. That's that. Which again, nobody had to ever teach you the intricacies of that. Isn't it amazing how a man has to go to school and study all sorts of things, but every man is born with being an expert in guile. First time we were caught doing something that we knew we weren't doing, it came out, didn't it? Oh, well, it wasn't me. No, I didn't break that. No, it was somebody else that did that. You see, that's guile. The Lord Jesus was one in whom the Scripture says guile was not in His mouth. There was not a deceitful bone in Him. Oh, what a sweet thing. Peter says, putting off, laying it aside. You don't need to wear it, he says. Just leave it. Leave it aside. And envies. Well, I've missed hypocrisies. And hypocrisies, what's hypocrisy? Now, hypocrisy, we all know what hypocrisy is. That's what everybody else is a hypocrite. Isn't that right? Huh? Why, that bunch of hypocrites. Why, they're always saying that, and look at them. I mean, hypocrite, isn't that? I mean, don't we more readily apply that to somebody that we think ought to be doing, acting a certain way, and they're not really doing like we think that what they're saying should make them do? Isn't that easy to see? I mean, I can see hypocrites on every corner. I can see a bunch of y'all hypocrites. I mean, I can see it. Isn't it amazing that the Scripture never says you need to
go around and help people not be hypocrites. Paul didn't say that, did he? I mean, Peter didn't say it. He said, laying aside hypocrisies. Whose hypocrisy? I can't lay Tim's hypocrisy aside. I don't have any control whatsoever over it. I have nothing to do with it. I can't even lay my own hypocrisies aside except by the grace of God, having tasted the sincere milk of the Word and see it for what it is, hoping that the Spirit of God will teach me what a hypocrite I am and learn to apply it to myself. Forget everybody else. You don't need to be worried about anybody's hypocrisy but your own. And dear brethren, we need to be concerned about it. Why? Because it's not becoming to the children of God. When you spend too much time thinking about other people's hypocrisy, you don't have enough time to think about your own, because your own hypocrisy ought to occupy your whole time. When you think about hypocrisy, you don't need to even think about how it applies to somebody else. You need to think about how it applies to you. Oh, that the grace of God would teach us such. If we've tasted that the Lord's grace, just put it aside. Put it off. Be done with it. Envies. You know, envy and covetousness are one and the same. They're not identical, but they are very closely allied, and one can't exist without the other. Envy is a desire to keep someone else from having something, or wishing they didn't have it. Now, if you see somebody driving down the street in a Cadillac, and you say to yourself, man, that's a beautiful car. I wouldn't mind having a Cadillac like that. That is not envy. But when you see somebody driving in a Cadillac and you say, ah, who do they think they are? Driving down the street in that big old Cadillac. Why, I could have a Cadillac if I wanted one, you know. And not wanting them to have what it is they have. That's envy. That's covetousness. You see, that's what it is that makes that an evil thing, because men desire that others not have something, thinking that somehow or other, if somebody else doesn't have it, it'll make me better off. This falls in many categories in our lives. And nobody ever taught us to do it. We learned it natural. You see, it's at the heart of many of the problems that underlie the relationships of God's people. Dear brethren, when God is pleased to give somebody something, we ought to rejoice with them. Rejoice with those that rejoice. When God takes something away from somebody, we need to feel their pain, bear one another's burdens, be touched with the feeling of their infirmities. Oh, that God would give us grace to put on that garment and put off the garment of envy. And all evil speakings. Oh, not all. Come on, Peter. We like a little bit. I mean, you know, that you're getting a little. He didn't say evil speakings, did he? He said all evil speakings. Well, it's all right to say a little something evil. I mean, you know, if we say it in a good way. I mean, if we say it we can criticize somebody to somebody else if both of us know they're guilty of it. Right? It's not wrong, is it? I mean, we both know they're a hypocrite. Is there anything wrong with saying, well, you know, so-and-so's a hypocrite? Yeah, I know it. Well, we'll have to pray for them. What is that? It's evil speaking, dear brethren. Because it is reiterating thoughts that arise out of malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Dear brethren, we don't need to speak evil one of the other, especially in our own mind or amongst ourselves. If a man be overtaken in a fault, the Scripture says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, considering your own selves, lest ye also be tempted. Be tempted with the same thing that you are correcting the other brother about. Put off these things. Now, Peter tells us how we ought to dress, and Paul gives an antidote to the problem. Now, I say it's an antidote. When you understand that there is no magic pill we can take that tomorrow we'll wake up and, well, we're done with that. We're no longer a hypocrite. We don't have any envy or malice or anything like that. No, you're going to wake up tomorrow, and the first thing you're going to be confronted with is some of these things. But we're exhorted in the Word of God, that if we be new creatures, having tasted the sincere milk of the Word, if we know that the Lord is gracious, then indeed we know that these things, when they rise up within us, may God give us grace to recognize them before they come to fruition in us. They're there. It's there. Oh, that God might give us grace. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren. Now here, think about this. Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. Think on these things. Why? Because that becomes the children of God. You see, that's what we're called to think on these things. You'll have enough trouble with the other things. May God, by His grace, give us grace that we might put our mind on those things. It's amazing that when you're thinking on things that are of good report, and you fill your mind with the good things about your brethren, specifically, and of course this is what he's specifically talking about, is our relationship as brethren in Christ. When we are concentrating on the good things, the true things, the pure things, what greater blessing is there in our walk? Oh, how sweet it is when the Lord enables us to dwell on these things. May the Lord help us. Because if He doesn't, then, brethren, we're in a mess.